May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel, Winnebiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yerushalayim, Yeshaya Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yerushalayim now entering the sanctuary. It's now a privilege and honor to present to you Son of Yerushalayim, Barzillai Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is How to Receive Yahweh's Protection. First of all, we must understand what Yahweh's protection is. In the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, we find the word protection means a person or thing that protects. So what is this person or thing that protects? Well, in the 12th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 20, verse 44, it says, Yahweh has promised, and you're going to see this. If I can get this into one lump sum, Yahweh shows that protection, his protection is going to be greater than what Moshe went through in Egypt. And the coming out of Egypt, and the armies, the huge armies they had to deal with. It's going to be much greater coming in these last days. Because Satan's number one goal is to kill the white buffalo. And if you remember, they tried to kill Pastor both before and after his arrest. But Yahweh protected him just as he promised. Praise Yahweh. Reading on, it says, And as stupid as she is, she thought she did it because her mind is on the Lord. In actual fact, Yahweh shows that she's killing herself, and he's even predicted the time of her rate she's going right now. As we can see, the beastly system's goal was to kill Yisrael Hawkins, but Yahweh protected him because he kept Yahweh's laws. We will also be protected if we keep Yahweh's 613 laws. Practice them and you will have peace. Now if you'll turn over to Romans 13, 9 through 10. Romans 13, 9 through 10, found on page 883. Romans 13, 9 through 10. Found on page 883. It says, For the commandments, you shall not steal, you shall not bring false testimony, you shall not covet, and other commandments are briefly summed up in these laws. Namely, you must not love your neighbor, or you must love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love the performing of the law. Now, the second definition from the Merriam-Webster's dictionary is a state of being kept from harm or loss. Notice that we are kept from harm and loss by keeping, practicing, and teaching Yahweh's laws with no deviation. The third definition is a state of being protected. If you'll turn over to Psalms 91, 3 through 4, Psalms 91, 3 through 4, found on page 470. Or 471, actually. Surely he will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome deadly pestilence, which that is the diseases and wars. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. Never forget that we must trust. Never forget that our trust must be in Yahweh. He promises protection. He promises protection upon those who put their love upon Him. Remember, Yahweh's protection only comes through obedience to His laws, through sanctification. We are sanctified by keeping Yahweh's Sabbaths and feast days, where we learn His laws. Please write for your notes Exodus 31:13. Yahweh tells us that His Sabbaths and feast days are a sign marking us as belonging to Him. And there's a mark of Satan and there's a mark of Yahweh. The mark of Satan is the Sabbath of the Sundays and holidays, and the mark of Yahweh is the Sabbaths and feast days. He is the one sanctifying us, setting us apart from the rest of the world for His use, which is training us to teach the rest of the world and the universe so they can receive the same blessings of protection. We are protected if we obey. If you could turn over to Isaiah 1:19-20. Isaiah 1:19-20, found on page 536. Or 530, actually. It says, if you will be willing and obedient, you will eat of the fruit of the Lamb. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Yahweh's holy scriptures are full of examples showing that when Yahweh's laws are broken, it brought curses and death. And here's one of them. In Yochanan 12:6, found on page 829. Yochanan 12:6. It says, He said this, not because He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief. He carried the money bag and took from Himself what was put in it. So as we can see, the law, do not steal, was broken. Now let's see what the result was. In Acts 1:16-19, found on page 840. It says, "Men, brothers, the scriptures had to have been fulfilled, which Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of David concerning Yada Isaacar, who was the guide to those who arrested Yahshua." Skipping down to verse 19, it says, "And this was known in those who lived at Jerusalem, so that they filled the fields," is called their own language, I don't know what that word says, which means field of blood. There will be curses from breaking Yahweh's laws, and a curse causeless will not come. For your notes, Proverbs 26:2. One of these curses are being cut off from Yahweh. And remember, Yahweh's not cutting you off. You're the one who's cutting yourself off from Yahweh, because you are the one that was sinning. Praise Yahweh. Let's not fall into the traps of Satan. Remember, she desires to destroy all of mankind, and she tries to cause Yahweh's plan to fail. Yahweh will not fail. Praise Yahweh. We need to make sure we are on Yahweh's side, the winning side, or else we will fail along with Satan and her plans. And if you all please stand.
Deacon Abishalom Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. Today we're going to be talking about something that occurs in our everyday lives, and you know, it's very essential to whether or not we enter the kingdom, and so tests and trials, and you know, and a lot of people have talked about this, you know, in the house of Yahweh and given sermons upon it, but it's very important to, you know, whether we make it into the kingdom. If you could all turn over to Exodus 20:20. It's a very popular scripture in the house of Yahweh, but you know, Yahweh sums it all up in the scripture, what he's got to do to bring us to perfection. If we turn over to Exodus 20:20, it says, "Then Moshe said to the people, 'Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so that the reverence for Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin.'" You know, whether we're going to stick to Yahweh's laws and obey Yahweh's laws, or whether we're going to fall back. Now, you know, Yahweh didn't call us to his house to make our lives easy and, you know, joyful and all pleasant. He called us so he can test us, you know, to see if we're going to stand up for righteousness or whether we're going to fall. And, you know, whenever he called the prophets, you know, they didn't have easy lives, you know, with no problems. They didn't have it all just glamorous. You know, they were persecuted and hunted down and even killed for preaching the word of Yahweh and, you know, practicing Yahweh's laws. You know, so why do we think we should have it any easier? You know, why should we think that we're going to have an easy life whenever we're called? You know, if we don't want the testing and we refuse it, we're not going to be found acceptable for the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, and that's Yahshua's words. He told us that. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. All through the scriptures, we can see how, you know, some people, they passed their test, and other people, they failed. They failed their test. For example, you know, Adam and Eve. You know, Adam was presented with a choice, or presented with a test, you know, to see, you know, whether you'd stand up for righteousness or whether you'd fall for the other tree, the mixture of righteousness and evil. And, you know, he had his wife Eve and, you know, and other people pressuring him, you know, to fall for, you know, to practice, be like the gods, you know, and Adam failed his test. You know, you can see that in the scriptures, how he failed. You know, he failed his test, and we can see what it's caused for the world today. You know, but, yeah, we can see how his child, Abel, his son, he passed his test, you know, and he passed his test, and he was actually found worthy, and the scripture says he will be in the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, and he actually ended up dying because of his will to practice righteousness. You know, and the scripture says it's not going to change, it's not going to get any easier, you know, just as in the days of Noah, so it will be in these last days. But we have to remember, if we go back, or if we look back out into the world, we're not going to be fit for the kingdom. If we turn over to Luke, can y'all turn over to Luke 9? Luke 9 and verse 62, he says, "Yahshua said to him, 'No man who puts his hand to the plow, then looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of Yahweh.'" Okay, so if we put our hands to the plow, then we look back, we're not fit, we're not worthy for the kingdom anymore. You know, that's something, you know, putting your hands to the plow, it means coming to the house, you know, seeking the kingdom first and putting your hands in the work, you know, striving for perfection, striving to keep Yahweh's laws. You know, and if Yahshua told us that in Matthew 6:33, it's another very popular scripture. Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If we seek the kingdom first, you know, and seek to practice Yahweh's laws. That's what putting your hand to the plow means. Now, remember, Yahshua said if we look back, you know, we're not going to be fit for the kingdom. Now, we've gotten too far to stop now, so we need a push for the kingdom. Now, the definition of test, in Merriam-Webster, it means, it says, a critical examination, observation, evaluation, or trial, a means of testing, a series of questions or exercises, or problems, things that we have to deal with. And look at how closely this, this relates to what we have to go through. A series of questions or exercises for measuring the skill, knowledge, intelligence, or capacities or aptitudes of an individual or group. Individually, we're going through our tests and trials, and we're also, as a house of Yahweh, we have things that we have to, that the house of Yahweh has to go through as a body. Or the result of value determined by testing. Okay, so Yahweh's, he's testing us to see if, see what that value is, if we can stand up, to these problems and these questions, these exercises that, he's allowing to be put before us, to see if, this critical observation, this examination, to see if we're going to stand up for his laws. Now, if we endure the test, we're going to be a testimony, a living testimony that Yahshua is going to present to Yahweh. Remember in the heavenly courts that the scripture talks about. The definition of testimony means a statement or declaration of a witness under oath or affirmation, usually in court. The evidence of in support of a fact or a statement or proof. We're going to be that testimony that Yahshua is going to present to Yahweh and present to the whole universe that's watching us right now to see if we're going to pass our test, to see if we're going to make it. We're going to be that living testimony, that proof in the heavenly courts. So that's an open declaration or a profession as of faith. Usually the testimonies, the precepts of God, or Yahweh. So, we're gonna be able to be that testimony that Yahshua presents, before Yahweh. Isn't that gonna be so wonderful? Praise Yahweh. Now, in the fourth book of Yisro, the reference to Yahweh, chapter 16, verse 58, says verse 14, we are no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. I've known people who start to come into the truth. Yahshua showed this. He showed that once a person is baptized, Satan immediately tries to remove the seed of the kingdom from heaven from them. He says, I've seen people go through this. I've seen quite a few of them, in fact, who would come in and be baptized because of the Spirit Holy of Yahweh was drawing them. But as soon as Satan goes to work on them, they would run. This proves that they're not fit for the kingdom, as Yahshua said. He says, once you set your hands to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. So we can't, we had to go through these tests and trials. We can't refuse them, brethren. We had to, we've gotten too far, to stop now. And it's going to get harder. It's going to get harder as we progress into the kingdom, but we had to endure it. Remember, Yahweh didn't call us to make our lives easy. He called us to test us and to prove us, to see if we're going to be found worthy to enter into the kingdom and to be given this job of eternal life. Because it's the kingdom, the job of, teaching and training the entire universe, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be problems and things that we're going to have to go through, and we're going to have to endure that. So he's testing us now to see if we can endure it. If you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Count Benjamin Krause.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Beautiful Sabbath day. Are you all ready for some beautiful information? Man, I'll tell you, Yahweh just continues to pour it on in these last days for his beloved saints, not only sitting here in the sanctuary, but everyone gathered, watching over the satellite. And even our brothers, don't forget the brothers and sisters in prison. Continue to pray for their release, to get here soon, to be with all of us. Do y'all remember a while back this beautiful picture that Yahweh provided via NASA? Moonbow Beach. That picture was taken. You can see Pastor there under the rainbow. That picture was taken June 17th, 2014, by a gentleman in Hawaii. I wanted to remind you of it because we're going to go back there today. I should have said aloha when I came up. Kind of sounds similar. But we're gonna go to the, instead of the island of Oahu, which that picture was taken on, we're gonna go to the big island of Hawaii. If you notice that big island, that's a satellite image, by the way. Doesn't that look a lot like a little goat? Complete with a little hair here and the eyeball and the mouth. Just a perfect, isn't it? I don't know, maybe it's a little donkey. I don't know. I kind of thought at first it might look like a donkey. Now, what brought this about is the great stars of Yahweh presented some information before me regarding a picture that was taken. It was up. I'm going to show you the picture here in just a moment. I think it was a Facebook post that the sister saw. It said, stunning aerial footage captured lava from the eruption of Hawaii's Kilauea volcano flowing into the Pacific Ocean. And they provided a picture for me with Pastor's face circled in it. The sister saw Pastor's face. And there it is right there. Can y'all see it? Now, let me explain where this face is coming from. This lava had just made it into the Pacific Ocean, and the cloud came up. The mist from the evaporation from the water shows Pastor's face. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is the first... I'm going to show you another picture here. Can you all see that up on the screen? You know, the sister that spotted this has got a great eyeball, okay? Hawkeye. You know, we're supposed to be watching the news for seeing these prophecies come to pass in these last days, and that's exactly what we're seeing take place. And I'm going to show you, this is a true miracle that this was spotted. True miracle. This was taken, by the way, this post, I'm going to put it up here again. It was put up by NBC News on 7/28, this particular post. Let me move it over a little bit. It says, watch as lava oozes into the ocean after Hawaiian volcano erupts. And from Mount Kilauea volcano. And there it is. And this story, as you can see, was on July 28th. But the actual footage of the, I'm going to show you here in a moment, of the lava going into the ocean, finally reaching the ocean for the first time and actually since 2013, occurred on July 27th. Here is the actual video taken by Paradise helicopters that NBC News used. I'm going to zoom out a little bit. And it was titled, this is from Vimeo, it says, July 27th, 2016, Ocean Entry. And it shows the lava finally reaching the Pacific Ocean. Can we go ahead and play the first clip, video one, please? And you'll get to see the lava going into the ocean from this particular video before we move on. July 27th, remember the date. Thank you. Okay. So, wasn't that exciting? Lava always excites me, you know, it just moves so fast. But this lava should really have you excited because, first of all, the greatest teacher in the world's face was spotted in that mist coming up from the Pacific. Remember what Pacific means, right? La Solution Pacifica, the peaceful solution. Remember peaceful ocean? And I got in trouble up here last time I spoke because I remember when I did my sermon on the Moonbow Beach, I mentioned Pastor had he baptized people in the Pacific Ocean in Hawaii. We still have a great family from Hawaii here. I don't know, maybe there's more than one. I'm sure they've expanded in that 25 or 26 years. But he also baptized people in Trinidad. I got in trouble with the Trinidad group. Sorry, Trinidad. But we love you too. Now I got to show you this. This is a miracle. Okay? It's a true miracle that this took place and that this was spotted. Now this is from Wikipedia. This thing's frozen. Okay, there it goes. It's the Kilauea volcano. And I want you to notice that the last eruption took place on January 3rd, 1983. 1983, that should ring some bells. Something took place in 83, didn't it? What was it? The establishment of the House of Yahweh. Now this was right before the establishment of the House of Yahweh, January 3rd, 1983. But before I go there, let me give you the history. And this really caught my attention. As soon as I saw this, of course, as soon as I saw the face, I knew. But this is the history of the eruptions of Mount Kilauea in history. And this is the only recorded history they have. Right here. If you remember, 1790, this is the first eruption in recorded history. Now, if you remember last time I spoke, that number 1790 came up as the establishment of Washington, D.C. Remember? July 16th, 1790. Okay? And it gives the history from 1790 to 1934 of all dates, right? What occurred in 1934, House of Yahweh? The birth of the last anointed witness. Oh, but it gets a lot better, as Kahan Yehuda would say. But wait, there's more. Okay, so Washington, D.C. Okay, so 1934, and then it jumps ahead, kind of gives some of the history, and it gives some of the history of the eruptions between 1790 and 1919, and then it goes, the next major eruption occurred in 1924. Okay? Now, 1924. The last anointed witness, one of Yahweh's last witnesses, or the two witnesses, one of the two witnesses, Jacob or Jacob, was born. 9/11/1924. Then it goes into some history between the years of 52 to 82. Then it jumps to 1983 because this current eruption that's been taking place has been going since 1983 nonstop. Since the establishment of the House of Yahweh, it has not stopped. It says the current Kilauea eruption began on January 3rd, 1983, or 1383. Please write that down. Now, let's go back for a moment to 1790. Between 1790 and 1934, and I gotta show you my math that it actually, between 1790 and 1934, it was 144 years. 144. Pastor mentioned that number not long ago, right? Well, let's be turning to Revelation 21:17 real quick. I'm going to be showing you the definition of 144, and this is from the Greek, and it means perception, understanding, and discernment. Perception, understanding, and discernment. It's from this word here, which is word number 143, and it means to perceive and understand. Perceive by using the senses, through the senses which brings a resonating sense of inner discernment. So it's in the sense of discernment, which Yahweh's given his last day's house with these numbers. And it also, 144 in the Hebrew is the word Adar. It's the 12th month of the Jewish or the Hebrew calendar, right here. As you can see here, 12th month of the Hebrew calendar is from 143. And it also means fire. Fire. Okay? Think volcano, think fire. Think the word of Yahweh like a fire. Think of the testing and the trials that we go through, the fiery testing and trials that the great Deacon Abishalom just got up here and talked about, that we've been going through. Now, 1383. To the establishment of the house of Yahweh. By the way, we're in Revelation 21. I'm going to clue you in on a little something here. In 21:17, and he measured its wall 144 cubits according to human measurements. And the Moloch that the Moloch was using, that's about 216 feet. What year are we in right now? 2016. Drop the zero, okay? 144 cubits is 216 feet, and the wall is not talking about a physical wall. That's all I'm going to talk about that right at the moment. Now let's go back to the date that this volcano began to erupt, 1383. Let me show you from January 3rd, 1983 to February 4th, 1983, when the house of Yahweh was established. And by the way, here it is right here. It's from the House of Yahweh Established Book, the Internal Revenue Service of the U.S., the chief nation of all nations, officially recognized the establishment of the house of Yahweh on 2/4/1983. So, how many days between? 33 days between the eruption that started and the house of Yahweh being established. How many years ago was 1983? 33. This is the 33rd year, okay? 33 years, 2016, 1983 to 2016. So let's look at 33 and let's see what 33 means. Hebrew 33 is Abiezer, and it's from 44 of all numbers. That's going to play an important role here, because if you read the house of Yahweh established, it's all about Isaiah 44 and the two witnesses, okay? And I encourage everybody to go back and read that after you see this. And notice it means, my father is help. My father is help. And can you turn to Isaiah 44:2 real quick? Isaiah 44:2. It's on page 558. Isaiah 44:2 says, this is what Yahweh says, who made and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. The two witnesses that he appointed that he also speaks about in verse 8. Down below. So my father is help. Remember, I will help you. He will help who? The two witnesses, right? Okay, so let's take a look also here at the Greek 33. Because what we saw was, we saw the Hebrew a minute ago. And it means come. Come. It means come, and it means come on, go to. Does Isaiah 2 and Micaiah 4 ring a bell? Let us come. Let us go up to. Let us go to where? The house of Yahweh. Where else? We're not to the Church of Christ or not to the Catholic Church. And it's from 71, and it means bring, lead, to guide, to bring, or bringing. And it means to lead by laying hold of, and in this way to bring to the point of a destination. Turn over to Isaiah 56, 2 real quick, just a few pages over from where you're at. Isaiah 56, verse 2. Remember, bringing to, laying a hold of. Isaiah 56, 2 says, blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbaths without polluting or defiling them, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Taking hold of these laws and these Sabbaths, right? It says to lead by accompanying to any place. To lead or guide, to bring, come, etc. Also, turn over to Revelation 22 real quick along those lines. Let's look at Revelation 22. And I believe it's verse 17. It says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Where's that water of life coming from? Where's the never-ending well of knowledge in these last days? Yeah, that's right, it's springing up from this place right here, the house of Yahweh. And let me make a point to you here about that. This is from the house of Yahweh established, the meaning of Abilene. Y'all awake? Meaning of Abilene is the right time has come. Bring, O Yahweh, we pray. Bring. Is that not what we just read? The right time has come. What right time? Here again he says, Abel means bring. Bring. I'm surprised the roof ain't jarring by now, but okay, I got some more for you. How's that? All right, so this is a very special year, 2016. So since 1790, when this volcano was first recorded to erupt, it's been 226 years, okay? And of course, 226, I brought this out last time, and if you go back to last year on 226 and see the miraculous sign that Yahweh gave us, about the sowing, remember the sowing and the gold? In Revelation 3:18, where it says, I counsel you to buy gold, and remember the gold placemat, and how that all worked out with the numbers? And it meant sign. It meant signs, standards, witness. Wondrous. And these are wondrous. You know, this is very, very, to me, it's so awesome. And it's from 184, and it means to draw, to sign, mark, describe with a mark. It also means to point out, to extend or mark out, to point out, you know, or to teach, like the Hebrew word says, to teach. Okay, so let's get into some of these numbers from the news story about this volcano. This is, says, lava from Hawaii's Kilauea volcano flows into ocean for first time since 2013. But now remember, it's been erupting since 1383. So this was Wednesday, July 27th at 12 o'clock UTC. So let's see what these numbers mean. First, let's look at 1200 in the Hebrew, and it means a burning. A burning. Fire. Okay? And it's from the Hebrew word bar, and it means brutish. Seek out, collect. Seek out, collect. and fire or fiery trial. Okay? Write these down. Very important that you write these down. I'm going to come back to this one because I'm going to make you smile here in a few minutes. I haven't seen any smiles yet, so I'm going to try and work. I'm going to do my better job here. Okay, now it was on 727 that this took place. And it means ark. Ark. And it means, and it's from the word arah in the sense of gathering. In the sense of gathering, says see Hebrew arah. Well, of course, arah, we should all know by now, is 717. 717, and it means gathered. Are you kind of getting the picture here about this gathering? And what have I been speaking about since December 10, 2014? The gathering. Remember the gathering that's taking place? It's taking place over a number of years. As Pastor explained to us, in the house of Yahweh established, that this gathering takes place over a number of years. It's not an instant thing, although very soon now you're going to see millions pouring to the house of Yahweh. Are you all ready? And by the way, turn over to Revelation 7 real quick, because 7:17 needs to remind you of Revelation 7, where it talks about the 144,000, and then after that, in verse 9 through the rest of the chapter, it talks about an innumerable multitude that are going to be coming to the house of Yahweh. That's 7:17 is the last verse. 7:17. Remember, gathering, the gathering that's taking place right now. Okay, now, who are they gathering to? Well, here's where they're gathering. They're gathering to Yahweh at His house. They're gathering to Yahweh. You see the 717 in the name there? That's where they're gathering. They're gathering to Yahweh. Okay? At Yahweh's house. It's right there in His name. The great gathering that's taking place. Are y'all excited? Well, you're going to get a little more excited here. Let me get through a number. Some numbers here. Okay, 727 in Greek. It's harpazio, it says. And it traces to, I'm going to skip through some of this, 138, which means choose or prefer, to take for oneself, to choose. And who do you think he's talking about there? That's right. Pastor Israel Hawkins in this great house of Yahweh that Yahweh is choosing, has chosen in these last days. Okay, so now, let's see if, oh, here. Pastor said right here, he quotes 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Where he talks about, I plead with you, brothers, concerning the coming of our King, Yahshua Messiah, and our gathering together to Him. It says, when this scripture says concerning the coming of our King, Yahshua Messiah, it's speaking of Yahshua's second coming, as Zechariah chapter 14 proclaims. When this scripture says our gathering together to Him, the great gathering is not done in one day. This gathering is done over a period of years by the house of Yahweh, by preaching and publishing, and by training those whom Yahweh is calling out at this time. Those who Yahweh is calling out now are given the opportunity later to serve with Him and Yahshua in His own government, the kingdom of Yahweh. Are you excited about that, saints of Yahweh? Man, Yahweh loves this house. Look what He is showing His house. Oh, but it gets better. Okay, it gets better. Pastor mentioned a number the other day, 6020. It's a few weeks ago. He talked about from 4004 BY, before Yahshua, to this current year, there's been 6,020 years. 6020. Write that down. Write that down. 60-20. All right, let's go through some more numbers. I know you love numbers, don't you? So this current eruption of this volcano that Pastor's face was seen in the water there on the Pacific Ocean was 1383. Remember? It's when it started. Hasn't stopped since. So 1383, here's what it means. It means trial and testing. Testing and trial, like the great Deacon Abishalom just got up here talking about. And by the way, I didn't tell him to choose that subject. These young future priests of Yahweh are totally inspired by Yahweh. And it's from 1382. It's from 1382. Here's 1382. And it means proving trial, approved, tried character. Tried character. Trustworthiness, test, so on and so forth. Proof and trial. And it's from 1384. Here's 1384. It means accepted. Approved. Approved. Accepted. Acceptable. You know, 7613. Accepted. If you want to be accepted, what do? House of Yahweh? You do righteousness. Is that not what we're practicing in the house of Yahweh? Then you're righteous, right? Acceptable after an assay or a test. Like coins are tested, you know, like gold and so on and so forth. Approved. So now how many years has it been, house of Yahweh, since 4004 B.C.? I can't hear you. 6020. So let's look that up, right? Here's 6020 in the Greek. And notice what it's from, house of Yahweh. I just read it to you. 1384. What did it mean? Approved. You've been tried, tested, gone through the fire. That, like that lava that's flowing to the peaceful ocean where it ends. What does it end in? What is the end result of keeping these laws, house of Yahweh? It's peace. Well, that must just be a coincidence, right? 6020 means examination, proving, testing. Also, 6020 in the Hebrew, right here, it's Amram, and it means Amram or exalted. Who's going to be exalted, house of Yahweh? Who's being exalted in these last days? The house of Yahweh. That's right. They're going to be exalted over all the congregations. And Yahweh is proving it without any doubt, is he not? Notice, exalted people. Exalted people. That's you, house of Yahweh. That's us. It means people, nations, persons, member of one's people, compatriots, countrymen, kinsmen, kindred. We're all kindred here, right? We're all family here, right? I can't hear you. 60-20. Wow. Imagine that. In 2016, by the way, 2016, how important is 2016 in this whole scheme of things? In Yahweh's whole plan, 2016 is 144 14 times, or 7-7. I'll get to that at another sermon. But I'm going to, Yahweh, 2016 is a special year, house of Yahweh. Are you not excited about that? Now I'm going to make you smile. Okay, I'm going to promise to put a smile on your face. Because 2 days after I was looking at the Drudge Report after we saw these pictures, after they were sent to me by the great stars of Yahweh. This came out in the news. It says, lava pictures from smiling Hawaiian Kilauea volcano eruption. Now, isn't that something? A smiling volcano. Have a nice day, right? That was a popular saying back in 1976 when the Mark of the Beast was written. You know, have a nice day, you know, the smiley faces and all that. Very popular. Now, this was on July 29th at 1221 on the BBC that this was posted. And we should know what 1221 means. It means it's from, fortress. It's from Batsar. 1219, fortified, gatherers. And it's from 1210, which is when we first saw Pastor's picture in the wave in 2014 in Scotland, remember? And it means gathering. Man, all these coincidences with this gathering stuff, right? But I said I'd make you smile. Can you show video two, please? Actual footage, okay? Yes, even the microbes know it's almost over, your house of Yahweh. Now, 729 also in the Hebrew means cedar, meaning as infirm. Please write down Psalm 92 and write and read that later. Now, I told you I'd make you smile. The picture wasn't going to be enough to make you smile. Because the microbes, yeah, they're smiling in that volcano, but they're also gonna show you what they can do on paper. Okay? You remember this? This is when that news article came out at 1200 UTC about the lava hitting the ocean. It means a burning. And it's from 1107 or 1197, which means seek out, collect. Notice right here, it means to burn, consume, and it says, in a smile, right? In the smile? Did you just not see a smiley face? Okay, but I'm going to make you really smile because it quotes Yeketsky 133, and guess what? There is no Yeketsky 133. There is no Yeketsky 133. Are you seeing how the microbes can deal with the paper to make you smile? The yolk's on them. It's off of us. You are free of the yoke of bondage. Yahweh loves this great house. So smile, house of Yahweh. Be rejoicing. Be lifted up. Be lifted up and greatly rejoice. 2016 is not over. Okay? Be ready, because Yahweh shows we're at the end of the road. And at this time, if you would all please stand, it's been an honor and privilege to speak to you. And it is my great, great privilege and opportunity to turn it over to you, to turn it over to one of Yahweh's great sons of Israel, son of Israel, Yisrael Abel.
It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kahan David Heimerman Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's an honor and privilege to address the called out ones of the house of Yahweh, both here in the sanctuary of the great house of Yahweh and spread throughout the entire earth. Y'all may be seated. If you could give me a moment just to get some of the technology working here that Daniel spoke about, the increase in knowledge in these last days. said there'd be an increase in knowledge, and I'd like to use some of the audiovisual information that Yahweh's provided in these last days to help present some of the information here today. Okay, starting from the title of the sermon today is "Blessed is He Who Comes to the 1335 Days." And this was a prophecy that Daniel spoke in Daniel chapter 12. So I'd like you all to turn to Daniel chapter 12. Now, I do plan to have most of the information on the screen today, so you can take your notes any way that works best for you. So this first slide here, let's open in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And at that time, one who is like Yahweh will stand at Abel, Yisrael Hawkins, the great priest who stands at Abel, to teach Yahweh's just, perfect laws to the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble. And I've underlined that word time because we're in the last time period right now, the time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time, your people will be delivered. Now, that word delivered, I've got the definition of it there. And it's from Hebrew word 4422, delivered. It means to escape. And we know that Yahweh will provide an escape for us in these last days from the tribulation that's coming upon the earth. And He's going to protect us. So that's all part of that word. Also to rescue or release. And there's a year of release coming up. But also delivered, to bring forth young. We speak of a child being born, a child is delivered. And that's part of this word here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, your people, not only us, but those who are asleep who are asleep right now. So at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book of life. And that's the requirement. Our names need to be found in the book of life. Here's a picture of that great priest who stands at Abel, Yisrael Hawkins. He's admiring, looking at the front of the sanctuary of the house of Yahweh and looking at the four-colored rainbow there. And it's the great meaning it has to the house of Yahweh. The great priest who stands at Abel, Yisrael Hawkins. Now, I've got a question for everyone. I'd like you to make your selection here. What length of time is a time? How many years are in a time? So I'd like you to write down your answers. Is it 1 year? Is it 3.5 years? Or is it 7 years? How long is a time? Now, the word time is mentioned in Daniel 12, verse 1, and also in Daniel 12, verse 7, which we're going to be getting to. So everybody make their selection. How long is the time? Because we're going to ask the Israel Says program for the answer here. Okay? All right, the next slide gives you the answer from the book of Yisrael, the Israel Says program. This is from the fifth book of Yisrael, from 129-2005, chapter 3, page 21, verse 46. Pastors in Revelation 3, verse 11. Speaking of the house of Yahweh, the seventh era. Behold, I come quickly. And pastor says, I think I have covered that also. This is the first time he says that. He's never said it to any other group. In other words, we're the group that will be alive and working, doing the work of Yahweh when Yeshua returns. He has never said that to any other group. This is using the same wording as Daniel when he said, in that time, if you remember, and now here's your answer from the Israel Says program, a complete time is 7 years, and a half time is 3.5 years. So you can grade your own papers now with your answers, but this is what the Israel Says program says about a time. A pastor says a complete time is 7 years, and a half time is 3.5 years. Behold, I come quickly. He's saying that I'm going to come in that time period. So let's look at some events that show that this time of trouble that we're in started in at Passover, or around Passover of 2011, this last 7 years. First of all, on 3/11, we had the Fukushima, Japan earthquake, 9.0, caused the destruction of some of their nuclear plants on the coast. Truly an environmental disaster. Then on 3/15, the start of the Syrian Civil War, and this 3/15 is a Wikipedia date, loose the four angels bound by the great river Euphrates. And it's been over 5 years now. This war has raged in and around the area of the great river Euphrates. And that same year, 2011, the signs from heaven began. Overseer Yisrael Hawkins sees the donkey cloud. 2 months later, an important event, the 10 years given to Satan to bring peace, working through the Middle East Quartet, ended. Her efforts to use the Middle East Quartet to bring peace to the Middle East, the two-state solution that Daniel 9:27 talked about, that failed on 10/25/2011. A large double rainbow that next year, and there have been many rainbows since that time that have been recorded here in the House of Yahweh. 2012, the start of the gold rush to close House of Yahweh in gold. This was all in this time of trouble. And then we had major changes in the Catholic Church. In 2013, 228, Pope Benedict, who is King number 7 of the Roman Catholic Church, now King number 7 since the Lateran Treaty of 1929. He's King number 7, and this is spoken of in Revelation 17. And then, several weeks later, after that, the new pope was elected, 3/19/2013, and that's an important date. That's when Francis, who is the son of perdition, the last of the Roman Catholic popes, and he's the one who will go into ruination. Perdition means ruination. It means destruction. His office will be finished. Pope Francis, King number 8, the son of perdition, inaugurated into the office of Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. He is called the Mystery of Iniquity. He's called that lawless one, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8. He's made to appear in the midst or the middle of the time of trouble. Slide number 6 here. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come. You know, this day that we're looking forward to, the return of our great high priest, Yeshua, for that day will not come unless there comes a falling away first and the servant of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. We saw that prophetic event on March 19th of 2013. And then verse 4 here, who opposes, this is what he will do, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God's, Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he, as the Almighty, sits in the temple of Yahweh. We know that the artifacts from the destroyed temple in Jerusalem from 70 AD made their way to Rome. Pastors talked about this. So he's sitting among those artifacts, and so he's sitting representing the temple priesthood from Jerusalem, showing himself that he is the mighty one. And then in Matthew 24, verse 15, a warning to us for these last 3.5 years here, therefore, when you see the Lord of heaven, the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he's surrounded by these artifacts. He's standing in an unholy place to those who keep the law of Yahweh. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Yada, in other words, those who keep the law, those who are students of the laws of Yahweh, let them flee to the mountain. Get very close to the house of Yahweh in your studies. In your studies, and do whatever you can to get very, very close to Yahweh's last day's witness and to the great house of Yahweh. Flee to the mountain of the great house of Yahweh, Isaiah 2:2, established in these last days. So, by not even a year after Francis came into office, he had established a reputation by his decisions and judgments that he was lawless to us. And so by 1/28/2014, his picture appeared on Rolling Stone magazine. And if you look at the lower right-hand corner of the magazine, it says, Pope Francis, the times they are a-changing. Yes, lawlessness was prevailing, and he was recognized by the gay community. Francis is the rock star of the gay community. We should all understand that. And then, now this next slide is very interesting in that Yahweh is perfect in his plan. He's absolutely perfect in his plan. Not only does he give us the 7-year peace treaty that started in October of 1993, and he gives us the time of trouble that we're in now, but he has overlaid his 7-year cycle of years with the time of trouble. And that's what this slide represents here. The time of trouble started Passover 2011, overlaid on Yahweh's current 7-year cycle of years. So the first one in 2010, the Day of Atonement, started the first year of this 7-year cycle. And Francis came into office on 3/19. And at the end of that paragraph there, if you see, he started making war against all holiness for 42 moons, which is 360 days. And now, last year's Day of Atonement, 9/23/2015, started the sixth year. So we're in the sixth year. It's the third tithe year. And what comes after the sixth year? The seventh year, a year of release, right? Year of release. And you're going to see how perfectly that fits in with Yahweh's plan here. So this is this is August, August 6th, today. Now, on August 30th, 24 days from now, or about that, is the completion of Pope Francis making war against the saints for 42 moons, for 1,260 days. So he has less than a month left to make war against Yahweh's house, Yahweh's last day's witness. And then 30 days after that, on September 29, is the completion of 1,290 days, Pope Francis removed from office by Yahshua, as the prophecies say. And then on October 11th, which is part of the feast of a day during the Feast of Tabernacles this fall, the start of Yahweh's seventh year, Yahweh's year of release on the Day of Atonement, this upcoming Day of Atonement. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 12. I'm sort of using Daniel chapter 12 as an outline for this sermon here today. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust, not all, but many, will awake, some to everlasting life, this is during the time of trouble, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is the first resurrection. This is many of those who sleep in the dust, not all. The others will be part of the second resurrection. And those who are wise, house of Yahweh, those who keep the law, those who recognize the establishment of the house of Yahweh, and those who are wise will shine as the brightness of the heavens, and those who turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And in a sense, this is talking also about those who are asleep right now. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end, which is, we're in this time of the end right now. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Job chapter 14, the prophet Job, he spoke about the first resurrection. And if you look at 14 verse 12 there, Job said, so man lies down and does not rise again until the heavens, the firmament, are no more. Now this is an indication of when the first resurrection is coming, when the firmament is under great stress, duress, ruination. This is one of the things we can recognize. Until then, mankind will not awake, nor be roused from their sleep. And if you look at the word heavens, that definition there, 8064, the Hebrew word heavens, it means, you know, if we look in the sky and we can see the planets and galaxies out there on a starry night, yes, it means those. But even more so, if you can look on the definition on the screen there, the underlying portion, it says the visible arch in which the clouds move, that's the firmament. So we can recognize that the firmament, Yeshu, Eob is talking about, man lies down until the heavens, the firmament, is no more. So not only is the firmament subject to ruination from the sexual sins of mankind, but it's also subject to ruination from nuclear destruction. Oh, if you, in verse 13 here, oh, if you would only hide me in Sheol, the grave, if only you would conceal me until your wrath or judgment, Yahweh, is past, then set a time and remember me. If a man dies, he will live again. All the days of my hard service, I will wait until my change comes. Now we know this is part of the resurrection, the change. You will call, Yahweh, and I will answer you. You shall care for the works of your hands. The King James Version here for Job 14, verse 12, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. That word be no more, it's Hebrew word 1115, 1115, and it means a failure. The heavens are going, the firmament's going to be a failure at this time of the resurrection. It's going to fail. The Hebrew word 1086 and 1097 are supportive of the Hebrew word 1115. So 1086 means to wear out. It's worn out. It's tired. The microorganisms are tired. They're under stress. And then it also means 1097, failure. That is nothing, nothingness or destruction. So that's the point we're getting with the firmament. Nothing is normal. Rainfall and weather are not normal anymore. Then if we go to Daniel 12 and look at verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others. Now understand that Daniel was seeing in a vision the last days, and he was seeing Yahweh's two witnesses. Yahweh showed Daniel a vision, and he was seeing two others, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river, and one, and I've given that one a name, Jacob Hawkins, and I'll tell you why in a moment, why I gave this one that name, said to the man, Yisrael Hawkins, clothed in linen. So Jacob Hawkins is asking a question. He's saying, and this is the format of Pastor's program from 1962, where he and his brother had a radio program opposing Babylon. It was a question and answer program where Jacob would ask the question and Yisrael, Bill Hawkins, would answer the question. And that's exactly the format you see in the book of Daniel here. The question, Jacob asks the question, Yisrael Hawkins answers the question. So the man, Yisrael Hawkins, clothed in linen on that future day is teaching. He said, it will be, what will be the end of these wonders? Okay, so Jacob asked the question to Yisrael. His question was, how long will it be to the end of these wonders? Verse 7, then I heard the man, Yisrael Hawkins, clothed in linen, who on that future day is teaching, when he held up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and vowed by him who lives forever, that it will be for a time, which is what we're in right now, a times, which is 14 years, that's been completed, and a half time. That's 3.5 years. That was the first thing that occurred when the peace treaty was signed. When Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people, all these things will be finished. Now, Yisrael Hawkins said that to us, to the world, on 9/9/2006. So if we could please play the video. Video number one.
Governments of the people and by the people do not bring peace. It will be for a time and times and the divided time when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out His power through His holy people. All these things will be finished. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Okay, so that's a record from when Pastor fulfilled that prophecy. Now, if you look at the next slide, this is the one we already covered here. How long is the time? And the answer is, it's 7 years. 7 years. A time is 7 years. A times is 14 years. A half time is, as Pastor said, in the book of Israel, 3.5 years. So, just for the record, this is the Prophetic Word magazine from 2011, right around the time that the time of trouble began. This time of trouble we're in. Pastor's face right in the center there. Yahweh's Last Days Witness, Yisrael Hawkins. And up in the right-hand corner, J.G. Hawkins, his brother, who changed his name to Jacob. Just call me Jacob. And these two men, the brothers, established the great house of Yahweh. Now, from the first book of Israel here, Daniel... Pastor talks about here in the first book of Israel, he's talking about this, the start of this time and half time. He said in Daniel 9, verse 27, the pastor says, he will confirm a covenant with many. That word there is Rabin. He will confirm this covenant with Rabin, the prime minister of Israel. And his word means, it's in that meaning there, for 1 week, 1 week. Now this week, it started out with, if you look in the Mark of the Beast book, it started out with 3.5 years, and it ended with 3.5 years. We're in now, and in the middle was called the midst, which was a number of years that was called the midst. Not just the middle of something, no, this was a time period. 3.5 years, the midst, and 3.5 years. He will cause the sacrifice to cease, so they stopped the peace treaty in 1997, after 3.5 years. Pastor says, we have sermons explaining these two words, to cease, and said he will cause the prevalence of the Lord of Heaven. Yes, that's Francis coming on the scene on March 19th, 2013. So from the ending, from the sacrifice and oblation, the trying to get this peace treaty working, from the stopping of that until Francis came into existence, came into office in 2013, that's the midst. Or, as Yahshua said, the Lord of the heavenly habitation, speaking of Francis, which was translated in Daniel and other places as the abomination that makes desolate, until the destruction that is determined. And in recent sermons, we've heard about the destruction that's coming from the ten kings and how they will burn Francis with fire. Destruction that is determined is the nuclear war that will take place in the last 42 moons that is given in Revelation chapters 11 and 13. So just to summarize from when the peace treaty was signed, half the time occurred first. That was 3.5 years, October 13th, 1993, to April 1997. And then we went into the times, 14 years, from April 97 to April 2011, 14 years. And then the time of trouble, which began in 2011, 4/13/2011, the start of the last 7 years that will be shortened. And the end of this last 7 years will be a 3.5 year period. So you had the first 3.5 years, you had the midst, and then you have the last 3.5 years that we're in right now. And Matithiah 24, verse 22, unless those days were shortened, there would no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, Yahweh promises those days will be shortened. Going back to Daniel, verse 8 here now. So I, Daniel, heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my ruler, Yisrael Hawkins. So Daniel is speaking specifically Yisrael Hawkins in this vision. So I, Daniel, heard, but did not understand. Then I said, O my ruler, Yisrael Hawkins, what will be the end of these things? But he, Yisrael Hawkins, said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time, until this last time period from when the house of Yahweh would be established until the time of the end. And in fact, it started in 1962, went with the two witnesses ministering together. That was a 28-year period until the death of Jacob in 1991, and then another 28 years. We're in that second one right now. Many will be purified and made white and tried, tested, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. You know, we're going to understand. We're going to understand these prophecies that Yisrael Hawkins is teaching us. That's the definition of wisdom. Learning the laws of Yahweh in obedience to them. Learning the prophecies and understanding the times and the seasons so we can be ready, so we can have our lamps full of the golden oil. We're going to need it. We won't be able to buy any golden oil, right at the end. It's not going to be for sale. Verse 11, And from that time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away and the Lord of heaven set up, there will be 1,290 days. Okay, this 1,290 days. We had the 1,260, the length of time Francis is going to make war against all holiness. But now Daniel is talking here about 1,290 days. So in Daniel 12, verse 11, from the time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away and the Lord of heaven set up, there will be 1,290 days. Okay, so read this verse in sections like it were written in Hebrew, okay? Read the phrases backwards. It becomes so much more clear. And it reads, there will be 1,290 days from the time that the Lord of Heaven, Pope Francis, is set up until the daily sacrifice, his daily sacrifice, his lawless teachings will be taken away. So he has 1,260 days to make war against the saints, but after that, his license expires to make war against us. But he'll remain in office another 30 days, but then he's going to be removed. He's going to be removed. So let's just look at this just in a little more detail. So the Lord of Heaven set up March 19, 2013. That's when he took the office. You know, he was elected on the 13th, but the American presidents, for example, they may be elected in November, but they don't have any power and authority until they're inaugurated into office. It's the same way with Francis. He was elected on the 13th, but he took his power. He was inaugurated into office on March 19th of 2013. Until the daily sacrifice, his daily sacrifice. And Isaiah was inspired to write about this. Isaiah 1 verse 13, do not bring any more vain idolatrous offerings, Francis. Your incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, your calling of assemblies, such as the Holy Francis' Holy Year of Mercy, where he sent out 1,200 super confessors. Who knows what damage these men have done, you know, to the world. I cannot endure. Even the solemn meeting is iniquity. Okay? So that offering is going to be taken away after 1,290 days. Will be taken away. Pope Francis removed from office, Daniel 8:25. And through his, Pope Francis, policy, he will also cause craft, deceit, and fraud to succeed in his hand, and he will magnify himself in his heart, and by peace will destroy many, He will also stand up against the Prince of Princes, Yeshua, and he will be broken, taken away without hands. It sounds to me like the ten kings are going to take him out of office. But Francis is going to be removed after 1,290 days. And that date is September 29th, when his 1,290 days expires. Here's a picture of Francis. This is from the 2016 Catholic calendar. I find this a very interesting picture. It's a picture showing the house of the sun god, Beit Shemesh, the Vatican. Francis is waving to the crowds in Vatican Square. Right above his hand is the Egyptian obelisk, sun worship. The Christmas tree is between his right hand and his glasses, which is a date, 25th of December, which comes out of the sun worship rituals. And Francis, he has his back to the house of Yahweh. He has his back to all righteousness. He's facing away from the house of Yahweh in this picture. Daniel 12, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away and the Lord of Heaven set up will be 1,290 days. And I'd like to read that with the phrases reversed a little bit here. There will be 1,290 days from the time that the Lord of Heaven, Francis, Pope Francis, is set up until his daily sacrifice will be taken away. So Pope Francis removed from office 9/29/2016. Completion of the 1,290 days, Pope Francis removed from office by Yeshua. And even the date, 9/29, it comes from an unused root meaning to be mute. In other words, to be silent, no longer speaking against Yahweh's way. He'll be muted. Okay, Daniel 12:12. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. And that's the title of the sermon here today. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. First of all, the word waits. It's a primitive root. It says through the idea of piercing. It means to adhere to. So this word piercing, just to read you a definition on the word piercing from the Webster's Learner's Dictionary. It means to await. It means piercing, to have a strong effect on somebody. This is the spirit of calling. This is your spirit of calling. You know, it's this piercing. We were called by Yahweh to come to his house, and it says having a strong effect on someone, us, felt in a very noticeable way. That's our calling. That's the definition of our calling. And so we're called to the great house of Yahweh, and then we endure. We endure the tests and trials. We learn what to teach, and we teach what we've learned so that we can teach what we've learned. And the word here, waits, so that's part of the word, he who waits and comes to, the 1,335 days, blessed is he. But it also comes from Hebrew word 2707, which means to carve or to delineate. Now, I had to go to the dictionary to find out what was meant by the word delineate. But what that is what Yisrael Hawkins has done for us since he started teaching. It's to explain the plan of Yahweh, to teach the laws, to explain the prophecies in great detail. That's what the word delineate means. From the Merriam-Webster's Learner's Dictionary, it means to represent by drawn or painted lines, in other words, orderly, mark the outline of, to describe. You know, to describe the laws, to teach the laws, to describe the prophecies, to set forth with accuracy. That's what delineate means. And that's all contained in that word, blessed is he who waits until the 1,335 days. So, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So, let's look at that count. This count started when Pope Francis took office on March 13th of 2013. Now, the next item there, the second date, 8/28, pastor's going to be 82 years old later this month. So, let's just keep that in mind. We'll cover that a little bit later in more detail. 8/30, the end of this month, completion of Pope Francis makes war against the saints for 42 moons, which is 1,260 days. 9/29, September 29th, just before the Feast of Trumpets, Pope Francis, completion of 1,290 days, Pope Francis removed from office by Yahshua. And then, 3 days later, the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, the first resurrection. That's what we have to look forward to, the first resurrection. And I'll explain that a little bit and show you some scriptures that I believe prove that the resurrection is very near. 10:2, the first resurrection, the family of Yahweh will be born, delivered. Remember what Daniel said? In that time, your people will be delivered. That's what's occurred. That's what will occur at the first resurrection. The family of Yahweh will be delivered. And then, 10:13 of this year, during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, start of the seventh year, Yahweh's year of release. And then on November 13th, blessed is he or she that comes to the 1,335 days. That's where the 1,335 days come from. It's a continuous count when the son of perdition came into office. Now, this next slide, you're not going to see much change, but you see that last line that changes there? Okay, that is, let's just look at that item. So we have the first resurrection at the Feast of Trumpets this year, and then we have the family of Yahweh on the Sea of Glass, 40 days of probation, separation, judgment, and rewards and offices assigned. And at the end of that 40 days, and if you look at the dates, it's actually 42 days, but you're going to see that 40 days has always been a very important number in Yahweh's plan for probation, separation, and judgment. And that's what we're going to joyfully experience on the Sea of Glass. Blessed is he or she who comes to the 1,335 days. November 13, 2016. Blessed is he who comes to the 1,335 days. Revelation 15:2. And I saw, as it were, the sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had prevailed over the beast and over his likeness and over his mark and over the number of his name standing on the sea of glass. Sounds pretty unbelievable, but it is pretty unbelievable. We just can't wrap our minds around it yet. But we will very shortly, standing on the sea of glass, having the laws of Yahweh. We won't be there if we don't have the laws of Yahweh. You know, a stranger who has had no experience keeping the laws or learning the laws, he won't be there for this. But we have an opportunity to be there. Revelation 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. Yahweh is Spirit holy. The laws of Yahweh are Spirit. Says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. Here's the end of the 40 days of separation, probation, and judgment. This is the end of it. the white stone, which is a sentence of acquittal. In the stone, a restored name, Yahweh, the family of Yahweh, written, which no one acknowledges except he who understands. We have to understand the plan of Yahweh, the laws and the prophecies. Then we will understand. Then we'll understand this. And the word acquittal, a sentence of acquittal, it means a setting free from a charge of wrongdoing. Who's the accuser of us? Satan. She's the accuser. So whenever we accuse one of our brothers, we're performing her job. We don't need to do that. No. No. The white stone, this is from the 12th book of Yisrael, chapter 2, from 1:14-2012. And Pastor was saying here in page 18, verse 59, the next day was the 28th. Now, that wouldn't mean anything to me at all. But if you remember, I, Yisrael Hawkins, saw a white stone. And I told everyone about this. And I had the date of which I told everyone, but I hope you remember it. And that white stone had three numbers, and one of them was 28. One of those was 28. So it was 17, 28, 74. I think I was 74, Pastor says here, at the time when that stone was shown to me, and it came into my mind, or was placed in my mind, this, Yisrael Hawkins, is your lot. Now, we're going to read these same words spoken to Daniel. This is your lot. So, here in Daniel, going back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 13, but you, Daniel, Yisrael Hawkins is saying this to Daniel in a vision which Daniel saw. Daniel saw the two witnesses. But you, Daniel, go your way until the end, for you will rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days. And in Daniel 12:2, going back a little bit, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Many. This is the first resurrection, not the second, no. But it's the first resurrection, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's where the judgment on the sea of glass comes in. I love this Isaiah 66, verse 8 here. It's speaking of what we're talking about. And Isaiah said, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Will the earth be made to give birth in one day? How is that possible? Will a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion labored, she gave birth to her children. Well, first of all, it's speaking of the resurrection, the first resurrection. That's how it's possible for a nation to be born in one day. And this verse here, this last sentence here, for as soon as Zion labored, Zion, if we look at the next slide here, Zion is speaking of the laws being taught. So this is the starting of the process with the two witnesses, Jacob and Yisrael, teaching the laws. And Yisrael Hawkins is Yahweh's spokesman in these last days. So this is what Zion, as soon as Zion was taught, it's speaking of the 613 laws. As soon as, just going back to what he said here, as soon as Zion labored, as soon as the witnesses labored in their work of teaching the laws and the prophecies to the world, she gave birth to her children. At the end of this process, at the end of the cleansing of the house of Yahweh, at the end of this process, which actually started in 62, and it's coming to completion right before our very eyes. So this next verse here, the ninth book of Yisrael, Pastor says, and then Psalm 110, verse 2, Yahweh will send the rod of your strength. Yahweh is going to send the rod of Yeshua's strength. Who's that in these last days? It's Yisrael Hawkins. He is Yahweh's spokesman. None of this, none of what we see or part of, is possible without the establishment of the house of Yahweh, and without Yisroel Hawkins leading us and guiding us at this very moment. The rod of Yeshua's strength out of Zion. Now, Pastor's words here, he says that word Zion means the 613 laws. That's what it means. So when the laboring of the laws, the teaching of the laws began, that's when this delivery began, this delivery process, the cleansing process, as Malachi 4 also had reference to, we just read, then turn the hearts. Yes, it will turn the hearts. This is from Revelation chapter 11. We're talking about the resurrection. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years those cast about with darkness started when Francis took office. 3.5 years. The abomination of desolation came on the scene. That started the last 3.5 years. Now, verse 11, look at this. And after 3.5 years, this is at the end of this 3.5 years, which we're getting very close to now. And after 3.5 years, the spirit of life from Yahweh entered into them. It's speaking of the two witnesses. And they stood on their feet. Okay? This is the change for those who are left alive, are alive at this time. But those who are resurrected, they're going to stand on their feet also. Yacob Hawkins is buried in a cemetery in Odessa, Texas. He's going to stand on his feet. The people there are going to be shocked when they see Yacob. And great fear fell upon those who saw them. It says it right here. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up here. Now how is this possible without being changed? Come up here as they ascended. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. We hear what Yeshua was recorded about Yeshua when he ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies watched them. Those who had no part with the house of Yahweh, they're not going to have any part in the first resurrection either. Revelation 11 continues here, verse 13. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and those remaining were frightened and gave glory to the Father in heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe comes quickly. So it's an earthquake. And the seventh Malach, Yisroel Hawkins, sounded. But this is the resurrection, speaking of the resurrection. And there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Father and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. The nation of Yahweh will be born on that day. Will be delivered, is a better word. So the seventh Malach, Yisroel Hawkins, blows the trumpet to raise the dead. I had a dream recently. Yahweh gave me a dream. And in that dream, I was on a flat roof of a building. The building had a parapet. It came in my mind that I was on pastor's property, or house of Yahweh property. There were others there also, but I didn't see any people or faces. But in the dream, but I knew I wasn't alone. There were many other people there. As I was looking out, watching, the entire building started swaying back and forth, swaying back and forth. And somebody shouted out, "It's an earthquake!" And so I just kept swaying with the building. But I did look out. I did look out, and I saw a city with 10, 20 church buildings, steeples. And I've seen cities, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. When you're on the Marquette Freeway, it's an overhead freeway, you look to the south side of Milwaukee, there's 100 churches, steeples everywhere. So it was something like this, but not as many, maybe 20, 25 church steeples, and they were all swaying back and forth like this. And the biggest one didn't come back, just kept going right over. So it was a significant earthquake, but not the big one that the scripture talks about. So the largest of the church steeples swayed and collapsed, crashed to the earth. That was the end of the dream. Several days later, I was thinking about the dream, and I realized that the next time I would be on a flat roof with a parapet is the Feast of Trumpets, when the Kohans gather on pastor's flat roof to watch for the seventh new moon. This year is a very special Feast of Trumpets. the blowing of the trumpets, and the first resurrection. I wondered, does prophecy show that there will be an earthquake in that day? So we just read what it says in Revelation 11. Yes, Revelation 11, verse 13. And in that same hour, when the trumpets are blown, there was a great earthquake, and there were slain of men 7,000, and those remaining were frightened. So, but there was also an earthquake when Yahshua was resurrected. There was also an earthquake when he was resurrected. That's recorded in Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the weekly Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day, this is after sundown, but we know Yahshua was resurrected about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it would have been 3-4 hours later that this was recorded, that Miriam Magdalene and the other Miriam went to see the sepulcher. For behold, now it doesn't say this is right at this time, it occurred when Yahshua was resurrected. Verse 2, for behold, there was a great earthquake, and the Malach of Yahweh descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So there's going to be a great earthquake in these last days at the first resurrection also. And at the resurrection, those who are left alive, us, those who are alive doing the work, and those who are asleep, I have Hebrews chapter 9 here. And all of these, having obtained a righteous report through the faith, a righteous report, they were law keepers, have not received the promise. No, they're asleep at this time. Eob, we read about Eob. Yahweh and Daniel. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they without us would not be made perfect. No, we have to finish this work. Yisrael Hawkins has to finish this work, and then they'll be made perfect. With us. So blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. We read this, so I'm not going to go over every detail here again, but that second last item there, the family of Yahweh on the Sea of Glass, 40 days of probation, separation, and judgment. And then the last item, blessed is he or she that comes to the 1,335 days, the white stones awarded, the sentences of acquittal given. The resurrection is described in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a secret truth. The Yahweh inspired the Apostle Shaul to write this. He said, behold, I show you a secret truth. We will not all sleep. We're not all going to die. But we will all be changed, both those who are asleep and those who are alive, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like that. At the last trumpet, in these last days, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead, Yacob Hawkins and those of the first resurrection, will be raised incorruptible, and we, Yisrael Hawkins and the house of Yahweh, will be changed. For this corruptible, this flesh that hurts when we pinch it or get injured or that type of thing, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, for this mortal must put on immortality, life eternal. So when this corruptible will have put on incorruption and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in Yahweh's victory. And there'll be no more tears either, I might add. Here in Revelation 20, verse 4, this is the description of the first resurrection. If you see the red text there, I'm going to read that last. It's a little bit confusing if you read it with the rest of the text. I'm going to save that for last because it's pertaining to the second resurrection, that red text there. So Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of those who were beheaded for their witness of Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets. and who had not worshipped the beast, nor his likeness, neither had received his mark, we keep the Sabbath, the mark of Yahweh. We keep the feast days, the mark of Yahweh. We observe the new moons, the mark of Yahweh. Neither had received his mark in their foreheads, nor upon their hands, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. Now, and then this is the first resurrection. And this is what it's talking about. Those who reign with Messiah 1,000 years, this is those of the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. You know, we can't be blessed and wait until the 1,335 days if we're not part of the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of Yahweh and of the Messiah, and will reign with him 1,000 years. Okay, now let's go back and read the red text here. But the rest of the dead, those who were not part of the first resurrection, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the second resurrection. 40 days and 40 nights. So the Feast of Trumpets, 10-2-2016, the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before Yahweh, and the books were opened, the book of life, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. It's separation, probation, and judgment. The dead were judged out of these things that were written in the books. Brothers and sisters, we don't have much time left. We need to fill it. We need to top off our lamps with the golden oil. We need to remove any anger or bitterness that we might have over anything. Is it worth it? No. No, it isn't. It's not worth it at all. They were judged according to their works. So blessed is he or she who comes to the 1,335 days. And then verse Revelation 15:2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had prevailed over the beast and over his likeness had not listened to Pope Francis, not at all, and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass. Unbelievable. I can't wrap my mind around it. I know it'll occur, but I it's something we can all visualize and focus on. Having the laws of Yahweh. A critical lexicon in concordance to the English and Greek New Testament by Bullinger, from 1975, the first Zondervan printing here, talks about the word 40. As a typical number, it is a number of probation, separation, and judgment. And this is Bullinger's words here. The two periods of 40 days Moshe was on the mount receiving the law are related to the breaking of the law, which led to 40 years in the wilderness. The time of Nineveh's probation was 40 days, Yana 3:4. Yeshua's own wilderness temptation was also 40 days, but the 40 days after Yeshua was resurrected, remember he was on the earth for 40 days after he was resurrected, point forward to the end of judicial dealings. We're going to go through this 40 days on the Sea of Glass. And right on the bottom of the slide there, Acts 1 verse 3, this is speaking of Yeshua, to whom he, Yeshua, also showed himself alive after his resurrection, after his suffering in the garden and on the stake, by many infallible proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking of matters pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh, teaching the laws of Yahweh, continuing to encourage his disciples to endure to the end. So, if you all made a mental note that Pastor's birthday is coming up on the 28th of August here, he's going to be 82 years old. The word 82, it means to soar, to soar. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a secret truth. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. In Revelation 11, verse 2, we read this before, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Yisrael Hawkins, Jacob Hawkins, come on up here. Soar up to the sea of glass, or however that works. But come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, just like Yeshua did. Come on up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. I'd like to read Isaiah 42 here, verses 1 through 6. Behold, my servant, Yisrael Hawkins, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth judgment to the nations. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, but he will bring forth judgment in truth, in the laws of Yahweh. Now notice in verse 4, he will not fail, he will not fail, he will not fail, nor will he be discouraged. He's not going to be discouraged. And I marked out that little word till there, after the till. Mark that out. He will not be discouraged till. Cross that out. It doesn't fit. He will not fail nor be discouraged. He has established judgment in the earth, and the isles, countries, will wait for his law. This is what Yahweh, the Father, says, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth, that they which and that which come from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it, I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you, Yisrael Hawkins, and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. Yeshua talked about the resurrection here in Matthew 24. Immediately, but after the tribulation of those days, you know, something's going to occur nuclear-wise before the resurrection. Because if you read this, something has changed on with respect to destruction of the firmament, with respect to wars. Think of it in terms of the sun being darkened, then will appear the sign of the coming of the Son of Man, and then the gathering of the elect, the first resurrection. So immediately after the tribulation of those days will the sun be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the earth, of the heavens, will be shaken. Warfare. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man, Yahshua, in heaven. And then will all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then, verse 31, and he will send his malakim with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds of the earth, from one end of the earth to the other. The word malakim here, King James Version translated it angels. Angels, malakim, it means a messenger. If you look at G32 there, angels, King James Version, it says a messenger. And notice, by implication, a pastor, like Pastor Yisrael Hawkins. He's the one who's going to blow the trumpet, or those who he assigns to do it, they're going to blow the trumpet on his behalf to raise the dead. In Isaiah 49, verse 3 there, and he said to me, you are my servant, O Yisrael Hawkins, through whom I will be glorified, very glorified. This Revelation, okay, Revelation 14 here, and I looked, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Previous speaker talked about the 144,000. Having his name and his Father's name written in their foreheads. Yes, we have Yahweh's name written in our foreheads if we overcome and qualify for his soon coming kingdom. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the harpers harping with their harps, you know, very beautiful singing and music. The music here in the house of Yahweh is wonderful. It's very inspiring. When I sing, I'm praying for Yahweh to bless me with a better singing voice in the kingdom, if that'd be possible, if I make it. But when I do sing with the voice He's blessed me with, it brings tears to my eyes. I have to go through it multiple times before I can get through it without crying. So, but after a while, I settle down, and it's the music here, the songs are wonderful. And on the Sea of Glass, some of the songs we've been preparing will be sung on the Sea of Glass. What a wonderful blessing that would be. We can teach our brothers and sisters. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the Kohans, the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Why? Because they received the white stone of acquittal, who were redeemed from the earth. And continuing Revelation 14 here. These are the ones who are not defiled with forbidden assemblies. Like the picture we saw of Pope Francis with his back towards the house of Yahweh, you know, looking at the all the elements of sun worship in the house of the sun worship. We're not defiled with those things. We're not defiled with forbidden assemblies. Why? Because Yisrael Hawkins has taught us what is truth, what is the law. But they are virgins, in other words, cleansed and pure. These are the ones who follow the Lamb, in other words, submit to His authority. We're proving that now, that we can submit to authority wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. Yeshua right now is the first fruit. We who are alive, those of the first resurrection who will be changed, we all have that opportunity to be first fruits with Yeshua to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile. And that's why I say, if there's any anger in our hearts or in our minds over anything, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It has no place with the people of Yahweh. None. None whatsoever. We are peaceful people. For they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. And to conclude this sermon here today, these described, we just read the description here, these are those who are blessed, for they have come to the 1,335 days and have received the white stone of acquittal. May Yahweh bless your understanding, and if you'd all please stand, we'll stand for closing prayer.